Welcome to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 22. I don't think we have anything to discuss this week about the number in, because 22 is kind of boring.
22 is my age, so yay, go me.
Yeah, so boring.
22, yeah, kind of, like I said, 22 is kind of boring.
It is.
Well, we have a packed house. I believe this is the first time all four of you are on the same cast. I could be mistaken.
No, it's the first time, yeah. I think, definitely.
So joining us this week is our friends from the north, Dillion and Eric. Say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
From way yonder is Anthony.
Hello.
And from the mean streets of Pennsylvania is Nicholas.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, bitch.
I thought it was Philadelphia, but I didn't want to misspeak, so I just said Pennsylvania as a rule.
City of brotherly fuck yourself.
Yeah, even I'm afraid to go to Philadelphia.
I love Philly so much.
I've only been a handful of times, and most of it was like school trips. I think I've only been like twice socially, so. Anyhow, this week is a very special podcast because you all wanted to do this one. We are going to discuss your favorite and least favorite comic book writers. And in preparation for this podcast, everybody put together a list of creators they wanted to talk about, and I cross-referenced all of these lists, and the one name that showed up on everybody's list was JMS. So, who wants to go first about JMS?
Fuck and that dude. Fuck that dude. That's pretty much the sum total of my opinion.
I assume you're a huge fan then.
Negative. No. No.
What? Why is that?
Because I've read things he's written.
If he's finished them.
If he finished them.
He pisses me off. Because everything he's done that there's been a couple early ones that I liked, like Rising Stars and Supreme Power, and both of them went way downhill because he either lost interest or stopped writing them or whatever. And that seems to be his modus operandi.
He should be the guy who does the setup and then passes it off to somebody decent.
That is what he does, apparently.
Yeah, well.
He just signed off on Wonder Woman and Superman after writing, what, like 4 issues each?
Yeah.
It's about like that, yeah.
Is he only focusing on the Brave and the Bold and Superman Earth 1 now?
I think it's just graphic novels, actually. I don't think he's doing Brave and the Bold either, because he's quitting monthly comics, isn't he? So, and I think he's just going to... The first thing he's doing, I think, is an Earth 1 sequel, and then he'll probably do some other Earth 1 titles. But I think he's just doing graphic novel books for DC.
I was going to point out that even his graphic novel book kind of got delayed, because that was supposed to be a bi-yearly thing, and it only came out in October.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how that goes.
It also sucks.
Have you read it?
I've read a good half of it.
It's a Superman origin story. I don't get what a fuss was about before it came out. Like, it's a reinvention of Superman.
No, because Superman. It is. It's a Superman, it's another telling of Superman's origin, but it gets a lot of the weird things wrong about Superman. And not wrong in terms of like, well, this isn't like it originally is, in terms of his characterization and making Superman kind of a cock.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I read it too, and my biggest thing is like, it was supposed to be like, oh, it shows you why Superman didn't become a baseball player or a scientist. They never really give a reason why he doesn't do those things.
Yeah, because, in Superman continuity, every other thing has been because he realized if he did all these things, he would be cheating humanity of the chance for invention and, for a... What's the word I'm looking for?
A better man of this,
Yeah, what's the point of him being a professional baseball player or football player? Because he literally is better than everybody else at these things.
Yeah, at the way they showed it in the comic book, he could do all of these things at once and have no problem and still be a reporter. They never really show why he chooses not to be. It's just like, Superman as a scientist, he solves a problem in like 2 pages. Superman as a football player plays every position, and they never explain later on why he chooses not to do these things when he can.
Yeah.
But, Dillion, what do you think about JMS?
Okay, I'm going to come clean. I don't think I've ever actually read an issue by him. But just looking at, like, story points from his books with the whole Spider-Man fiasco and now making Superman walk, it just pisses me off with his stupid decisions, and then he doesn't finish anything ever.
Like, he's I've read all of his Spider-Man, and honestly, the huge downside to that is that it ended, his run on Spider-Man ended with One More Day, and, you know, One More Day gets a load of shit, because it's not that great a story. But some of his Spider-Man stuff, in my opinion, wasn't actually that bad. Some of it was shit, like, but...
I'm sure he writes good stories, it's just that he...
It started out good. The beginning of his Spider-Man was pretty decent, but it went downhill really fast.
You know what, man? You know why, I think? Is because of events, mostly.
There wasn't even that.
Start
it was
working that stuff into it all the time.
He said he hated
even that. It was like the
other.
That's
why he walked away from his run of Thor.
Yeah, he said he hated tying into him, didn't he? Especially after Civil War.
And that's what happened with Spider-Man, because it was pretty decent. Like, I mean, love it or hate it, Osborn slept with Gwen Stacy. I loved that story. I was like, that's awesome. Dirty old man.
It makes me cringe. I
forgot about that.
It's just wrong. No, not only does he sleep with Gwen Stacy, apparently that's the only time Gwen Stacy ever actually had sex. Which just makes it all that bit creepier.
What happened to the two kids?
They're still running around, I think.
They disappeared. That never let us speak of them again.
They're still in. They're in the Marvel universe somewhere. I don't know where, but wherever they are, they can stay.
It was like the Mary Jane Peter kid. They had it, and then they just, as long as they don't mention it anymore, it never happened.
Maybe the one that died.
No, that was the point of that story, is that it didn't die. But then they just never mentioned it again.
Oh, you're talking about Gwen Stacy's baby.
No, Peter and Mary Jane's kid.
It was a stillborn baby. Osborn did something to Mary Jane, didn't he? And it was a stillborn baby or something. And then the child wasn't actually alive, like, for an amount of time. Although it doesn't actually get mentioned anymore, which is a bit weird.
Exactly. It never happened.
Yeah, I suppose.
But you can say that One More Day or was like a refresh on the whole series.
Brand New Day was quite good, though. There were some good stories in Brand New Day. Mainly the ones written by Dan Slott and Mark Waid.
It's true. Brand New Day was good, but it was one of those things where it would have been good regardless of whether they had done One More Day or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing about Brand New Day was good because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think One Moment in Time helped it at all.
Well, no, that's because Joe Quesada is a terrible writer, too.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But he's not on any of my lists,
so.
I don't think of him as a writer, actually. I just think of him as the editor-in-chief.
Exactly.
I don't think I've read many. I mean, he did Daredevil the Father, didn't he? Which I haven't actually read, but my brother's got it, so I might read it eventually, but no.
Okay.
Yes.
We tangent off of JMS, but apparently nobody was really a huge fan of his.
I'm a fan of his four. I like his four.
I think you can find stuff that he's done that everybody would like. I just don't think overall anybody's confident. Like, if you hear he's going to do a new story, I don't think anybody's going to be like, yeah, it's JMS writing. You're going to be like, how long before he gets off of it?
Mm, yeah.
And then I guess the other ones is that we had five people who made it to three of the list. First up would be Ed Brubaker.
Oh, I love Brubaker.
For all the reasons that Nick doesn't like him.
No, what?
Oh, Brubaker? Oh, no, I like Brubaker. Yeah.
No, I know you do, but I mean, you don't read. Like, what do you like, Anthony? You like Captain America?
I like his Captain America and his Secret Avengers stuff.
Right.
Brubaker's one of those guys we were talking about earlier. He's one of those guys I like, I just don't read a whole lot of his stuff. Like, I like Incognito a lot. Criminal's good. I just don't really read most of his superhero stuff.
He got me to read some X-Men back when it was a Deadly Genesis.
Yeah, I read it.
Got into that for a bit, but that only lasted.
X-Men isn't that good, actually, but
I liked it. I don't know. That was okay. And then I got into Captain America, and now I'm reading Secret Avengers, and I dig him.
I do enjoy Captain America, because it's like month after month, it's usually just like a good issue. It might not always be like an amazing, spectacular issue, but it's usually, I don't think I've actually read a bad issue of Captain America that Ed Brubaker's wrote. So.
He was writing Detective Comics back like 10 years ago when I first started getting comics, and I really like his Batman run as a whole with the whole maybe some people might not like it, but I actually enjoyed it. The Bruce Wayne murderer, fugitives, and all that stuff.
Oh, that's actually one of my favorite stories.
I've not actually read that.
It's actually, I mean, it's kind of one. Yeah. It's one of those things where it's kind of long. I think it's like four trades.
Yeah, I think it's like three fugitives or two fugitives and two murderers or something.
Something like that. Yeah. But it's actually an interesting story, and I like the twist. I don't really know whatever happened with the fallout with that, because, I mean, I don't want to ruin it, so we won't talk about it here.
Obviously, Bruce Wayne was not a murderer.
Well, he wasn't, but I don't know. Like, he got freed, but I don't know how he ever fixed the Wayne name after that.
Yeah.
I want to read Man Who Laughs, actually. That's by Brubaker, isn't it? I want to read that
one. That's quite good.
That's a good one, too. I prefer the Killing Joke, because I think that Man Who Laughs is also kind of a Joker's origin.
Well, it's like his first appearance.
Yeah, okay.
You guys are bat freaks.
I assume you haven't heard of these stories before.
I'm actually wearing a Batman t-shirt right now.
Last time I read Batman consistently is when Kelly Jones and Doug Monch, M-O-E-N-C-H, I don't know how to say
Munch.
It.
Oh, that was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, man. That was...
Oh, yeah, and...
Good stuff.
Speaking of Ed Brubaker, he's also the writer of Gotham Central, I believe?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a phenomenal series.
It is.
And my favorite, so... There we go. And then I guess next up would be Matt Fraction.
I love Matt Fraction.
Yes. Matt Fraction is awesome.
Okay, apparently we don't need to touch on this.
I've not read his X-Men work, to be fair.
I've read a couple of them.
I wanted to say, actually, that he's done three issues of four, so it's a bit early to actually, you know, judge the book. But they
look at the one-shots he did a little while back before
those one-shots were metal as fuck.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Four Ages of Thunder, it's like they're really good four stories, but yet his four, what he's done monthly, the three issues of it, they've been good. They've just not been, like great, as good as what they probably could be.
As good as his Iron Man stuff.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's like that. But I think it might be because he's kind of like, he's taking on after Siege, and, you know, he's got to, like, carry on with the storyline of Siege and all that stuff, and the stuff like JMS did and Kieran Gillen did before him. So he's got to, like, continue the story before he starts, like, bringing a lot of new stuff into it, but, you know.
Yeah, it's not like with his Iron Man where he could just jump in and start a story.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Which his Iron Man is... amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I have the Omnibus, but I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, I have the Omnibus as well. That's a really good read. But yeah, that, like, just out of the gate was awesome. But he does Casanova, and Casanova is one of my favorite comics.
So. I do enjoy it.
He also did, back in the day, he did a graphic novel called The Five Fists of Science, which was fantastic. It's Nikola Tesla and Mark Twain versus... Thomas Edison and J.P. Morgan and Cthulhu Monsters.
Actually, he also did a run on Punisher War Journal during Civil War.
Yeah, I have the trades of that.
That was actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
Really? You guys like
that? I want to read that.
Yeah, it was good enough.
I like me some Punisher, and I wouldn't call it my favorite run.
I wanted to connect it to the
favorite, but...
connect it to the last one. He also did the Iron Fist with Ed Brubaker. Mm. Which was a really good run of comics.
Yeah.
Like the seven, what was it? Oh, the last Iron Fist story and the seven capital cities of heaven. They're both really good.
Mm. Okay. And next up is the guy who's actually inspired this whole discussion.
Oh, I know who this is.
It's not that difficult to understand who this is, but yeah.
This is where the fun starts.
Mark Millar. I think we should start with Eric.
Why me?
Because I think you're the biggest fan of his on this podcast.
Yeah, so. You know, I don't know. I guess. I don't really. I've been reading his stuff for a while, man. I got that Chosen, and I just went to the comic store one day. I'm like, I'll just pick this stuff. I'm like, what's this? Oh Jesus, man, let's see what I'm hearing. And wanted. I was like, this is awesome. Like, I mean, I don't know how to explain it. He's vulgar, and I like it.
And that's what you enjoy about it.
Yes, man. Like everything. Yeah, pretty much. What did I? The only thing of his so far that I think I've read that I didn't like was his Fantastic Four run.
But I mean, didn't mind though.
Out of it. Good things did come out of it.
Did he have Mr. Fantastic beat up on Sue?
No, he raped her.
Oh. Is that true?
No.
If he could have, he probably would have done that, but Marvel obviously wouldn't let him, so.
Yeah.
I was about to say, it sounds in his realm of reason. He's Fred Nemesis. What do you think, Dylan?
Well, actually, no, I didn't really realize this, but the most recent thing I've read of his is Civil War, which I hated. But looking at his list of stuff that he's written, I didn't realize, but he wrote a lot of Ultimate X-Men and the Ultimates, which I really liked, actually. So I guess it's just his later stuff. I don't like, but I do like his earlier stuff, like specifically Ultimate X-Men, which I really like. But other than that, yeah, not too much I like of his.
Nicholas?
I made my feelings on recent Mark Miller work known pretty clearly.
For people who don't know, you know, indulge us.
I think I said Mark Miller is a cunt. Mark Miller is weird to me in that his older work, like Dylan said, is really good. Like the Ultimates and...
I like Red Sun.
Red Sun, which Superman Red Sun is funny because I was reading about it. Apparently the central idea of that was from Grant Morrison.
Whoa. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, obviously they were writing fast together.
Yeah, and like his work on Superman Adventures was really good. Apparently his Swamp Thing run is good. I haven't read any of it. But there is a certain point right around when he did the Ultimates that he kind of switched a little bit and turned into the guy who does violence and vulgarity and crazy stuff just to do it, not because there's a point to it. And that's kind of where he lost me. Like, with Civil War, I just hated the end of it.
I hated the entirety of it.
Like with stuff like Wanted or Kick-Ass, I just didn't like Kick-Ass was weird, is that I did like parts of it, but all the stuff I hated about Mark Miller was in that book. Like, the weird kind of quasi-racist stuff, the weird violence and sex and stuff that really doesn't need to be in there, other than it's like, hey, look, there's violence and sex in this comic book. Doesn't that make you feel like you're reading something older?
And that's kind of why I prefer the movie, is that it takes out most of that stuff.
Exactly. That's why I actually like the movie a lot. I hated the book. But that's kind of why I don't like him, is he's kind of gone into the very, very juvenile, sex and violence is obviously more mature thing, which is not necessarily true.
And well, yeah, that's pretty much that's my biggest issue with him. But Anthony, what are your thoughts?
Around the time he did Ultimates, I think he wrote Wolverine: Enemy of the State, and I don't read Wolverine comics a lot, but I do really like Enemy of the State, and he did Old Man Logan, which was all right. It's Mad Max in the Marvel universe, but it wasn't that bad. And I like some of his stuff, but I've not been enjoying Nemesis at all. I think it's there's too much violence and there's too much bad language. It's just he's using that instead of a story, because he's pretty much, the whole comic is pretty much hinging on, you know, like the Nemesis is a bad guy. So it's like Martin Miller's like, oh, I can just have him do whatever the fuck I want and just have him kill hundreds and hundreds of people in a comic. I always prefer a good story in a comic rather than loads of panels and panels of action.
Aren't you curious how they're going to stop him, though? If they're going to stop him?
I'm reading issue 4, so I've read the whole thing, and I like Steve McNiven's art. I don't really care that much how it ends.
I assume that's going to be turned into a movie for the end.
Yeah, it is. Tony Scott's directing it.
Oh, God, no, really?
Yeah.
Yeah!
That seems ironically appropriate.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I mean, it's one of the few people, I don't really follow comic artists, but it's one of the writers, I should say, but it's one of the people I hate reading any of his work. Like, I didn't know he wrote Red Sun, but other than that, I hate his Ultimates run. I hate Nemesis. I haven't read Superior. Kick-Ass was, Civil War didn't really do anything for me, because I never really thought that either side had a point, I guess.
Well, the problem with Civil War is that they wanted it to be quote unquote balanced. They wanted people to see both sides of it, but then they wrote everything to be very, very pro
anti-registration. Yeah.
Everything was written to be like anti-registration are the good guys, pro-registration are wrong, and we're going to show them why. And it's like, you can't have the We're showing both sides and then not show the one side.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Iron Man was a douche throughout that whole run.
Oh, yes, he was.
And... whatever. I just don't like the guy. That's all I'm going to say. moving on is Frank Miller. And I want Dylan to do this first because he actually has, I think, Frank Miller was one of the people he divided up into periods.
Yeah. Okay, so specifically the two periods were up until the mid-90s when he did Born Again. I like all of that stuff. But then everything he's done since then, I hate. Like, Year One is one of my favorite books ever. Dark Knight Returns, the same thing. And his Daredevil stuff is fantastic. But then All-Star Batman and Robin and Dark Knight Strikes Again
are probably
the worst books I've ever read. So I don't know what he did, but something snapped in him.
There is a point where Frank.
Frank
Miller lost his goddamn mind.
I don't like his new project, Xerxes, because he's doing it purely because of the 300 movie, and I just think that's stupid. Because he never planned on doing a 300 movie. It sounds shit.
Okay. I'm just going to say that I kind of enjoy All-Star Batman. Just because of how insane he makes the character.
I'm the goddamn Batman.
So it's not the train wreck aspect.
Yeah, it's like that whole issue where he's dressed up in all, you know, he paints the Batcave and all this other stuff so Green Lantern can't do anything to him. And then, like, Robin, I guess, stabs him in the throat or something.
Oh, he cries.
I will admit I like that part just because he beat the shit out of Hal Jordan and fucked that dude. That's about it.
It's like, it's not a good comic, but it's just so fun to read because it's so random.
So I found it painful to read.
Oh, I like Sin City.
Sin City is, I think, where he started to lose his mind.
Oh, that's just like dumb fun.
It was good, but then it just got slowly and slowly more and more like, Frank, what the fuck are you doing?
I don't know. I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot.
I prefer the books to the film.
Well, has everyone here heard about that story he wants to do? I don't know if it involves Batman anymore, but it
does.
Where it's going to be like Batman.
No,
it doesn't.
Batman is no longer in it, no.
Yeah, I heard, because it was supposed to be Batman versus Terrorist, wasn't it? But then I read
it was
that.
Called,
yeah, to Batman.
Yeah, it was called
Batman
Holy Terror Town. Batman.
Yeah. Where does that idea even come from?
Batman versus Al-Qaeda.
I just want that for the name.
Because, you know, if anybody's going to take out Bin Laden, it's Batman.
He probably has he's probably had it figured out already.
America would have loved that if that happened.
I think Batman fans would like that if that happened. So yeah, I mean, I like some of his earlier stuff. I'm not a huge fan of The Dark Knight Returns. I've never read The Dark Knight Strikes Back. I've heard nothing but terrible things about
that. See, if you like All-Star Batman and Robin, you'll like The Dark Knight Strikes Again, because it's like the same just batshit insane characterization. I like Dark Knight Returns a lot, and Dark Knight Strikes Back is fucking crazy. I tell people to read it just because they need to see how crazy it is. Like, it's not good. It's not good at all. But it is fucking insane.
I enjoyed both.
Okay. And finally, we have Grant Morrison.
Yay.
I love Grant Morrison.
Okay, is anybody on the... I was about to say, is anybody on anti-Grant Morrison side? Well, sounds like Eric.
The only thing I don't like about Grant Morrison is he's writing Batman right now.
Ooh.
What do you...
I discovered him around Animal Man when he was doing that.
What? I was going to say, have you read his Batman run? Or do you just hate the fact that he's writing Batman?
I've been
reading
it, man. I read The Return of Bruce Wayne and what the hell else. Just that. But I got the internet. I know what's going on.
That's kind of weird to jump in. That's like... what, I guess like the fifth or sixth part of his story?
I just want to see how he comes
to jump in.
Yeah, it was. I don't know, I got the first issue, and I'm like, oh, Kubert, cool. And then.
See, the thing with Morrison, and it's the thing with Morrison with almost any of his writing, is you might not know what's going on from issue to issue, but once that last issue hits, all will make sense.
Yeah, like, Final Crisis. I don't care what people say.
Oh, I love Final Crisis. Final Crisis is fucking awesome.
Especially the Superman Beyond stuff. I like
Hell
that.
Hell yeah.
Oh, I like that. The Superman, yeah.
Everything about Final Crisis is great, and the people who don't like it just don't understand it.
They can eat a dick.
Yeah, they can eat all the
Well, I mean, I like Final Crisis as well, but I do have to give them some credit. Grant Morrison is a tough writer to get into if you're reading it month to month. Like, you have to go back and kind of read his entire run to get any most of his stuff.
That's what's awesome. You get your
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, you get it, but some people read it month to month, and it's like the seventh issue of Final Crisis comes out, or the eighth one. I forgot how many that was. And it's like, I don't know what's happening, but you have to read it as a whole, especially when you have the special Grant Morrison reading order.
Well, people are lazy, too. They want everything explained to them. And a lot of what Grant Morrison does is he just assumes, well, I'm going to not explain this because people will get it. And then some people are like, you didn't put out a step-by-step plan of exactly what everything is happening in here. And,
yeah,
and they get angry
that was like the,
because
that was
they
like
have
the first
to,
reaction.
Yeah, they have to, you know, read between the lines for some shit.
Yeah, I got that. I think a lot of people felt that way with Return of Bruce Wayne 6, where it's like, I don't know what's happening, but it was an awesome story.
But that's and even that. Funnier is that in Return of Bruce Wayne, it all is explained in there. They're just not reading it.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, I thought.
Yeah, you're like, just bouncing through time, right?
Well, no,
I didn't read the last issue, though. I know he, whatever, at the end of number five, he's in that monkey suit or whatever that is. That's
okay.
Awesome.
And it was actually kind of weird because people had the same issue with Batman Return this week where they didn't know what was going on with the story, where it's pretty straightforward that he bugged the dude and he was listening to the conversation where people are like, is Batman creating a new villain? Is he? I don't know. But... yeah, Grant Morrison, good guy. I love his JLR run as well, and I think that was the last time it's actually been good.
Oh my, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
That's good stuff.
His JLA was fucking fantastic. His actually what's funny is his JLA is where I actually started loving Batman. Where I liked Batman before that. And but like his hyper competent, just like Batman prepares for everything and will take all of you down if he has to. Batman is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I remember, you know, Wizard did a what would happen if the Justice League had a Royal Rumble, like around the time that Morrison was doing the run. And the final winner was always Batman because he just hit until the last person was standing. I'm like, that's cherry picking, man. That's not right.
Like that first
Is it the first arc with the White Martians?
Yeah, that first three issue arc was amazing. Where just the end is just Batman taking everybody out because he's Batman.
I like and Prometheus stuff. Or Prometheum. Was that it? Prometheum?
Prometheus. You know, the one where he like downloads Stephen Hawking into him?
Yeah, that was geek.
So, yeah. I mean, I guess that's where that Batman beats anybody. Well, that's not true because Frank Miller did it with Batman beating up Superman in The Dark Knight Returns as well. So
I like some Captain Marvel.
I love everything Grant Morrison has written that I've
read. Yeah.
There's not been a Grant Morrison thing I disliked.
Yeah, while we're on the topic of them quickly, everyone here read the Arkham Asylum book?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Ooh, I love that.
I really like that, but it's kind of, like, seeing all of his recent stuff, it's a really kind of different approach to Batman.
I had to get Knight's Encyclopedia really for some of that stuff, man. I was asking my mom, what the hell does this say?
Does everybody have, who of you has the version that has, like, the script and the annotations in the back?
I have that one.
If you read through that, it explains why he wrote Batman like that. Because he said it was a palate cleanser. He was trying to get Batman out of the dark Frank Miller. Everything is really dark and terrible universe. And then that set up his Zen Ninja Batman of the JLA.
Yeah.
What I really like about Arkham Asylum is it works like really well. It's like a graphic novel, you know, kind of like on its own, where you don't really need to know much about Batman to enjoy it. It's a really good, like, just on its own graphic novel.
And I could be mistaken, but that's also pretty much like the backstory in the video game, right?
Well, it's
not really. No.
Which one? Because like all the video, like the tapes you get are pretty much excerpts from a comic. I thought it was that one.
At a certain point, they go off.
Well, I mean, but for the most part, that's kind of what it's based on.
Yeah, the general premise is like the book.
Yeah. It's just pretty cool.
But see, we're only talking about is Batman and DC stuff. He wrote, like, an amazing run of X-Men, too.
Yeah.
I always find it difficult to read X-Men. I think the last thing I read from them was Messiah Complex.
You should get the, if you can, or if you want to, get his first trade. of his new X-Men run, what he did with Frank Quitely and a bunch of other artists.
Ooh, Frank Quitely. Okay, I can check that out. I like his art.
Yeah, the first three issues are Frank Quitely, and then they go to different artists back and forth and everything.
Speaking of, we didn't even mention All-Star Superman.
That's probably a perfect comic book.
Is anybody anticipating the release next year?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we can take a break here.
I met Grant Morrison in San Diego a couple years ago, and I was like, thanks for killing Batman. And
Son of a bitch.
He was like, keep reading
Before we get off Grant Morrison, I just got to say, anybody who hasn't has to read The Invisible, because that's probably his best thing he's ever done.
I would read that, because, I mean, I read Sea Guy, so I might as well.
Yeah, like that is my favorite Grant Morrison work would be The Invisibles. The Invisibles is like, I was talking to my friend Tom about this the other day, that Fight Club is like one of those things I saw in the theaters, and that kind of shaped my view of pop culture and how I approach movies and stuff. The Invisibles is that, but with comics.
Cool, I'll have to check that out.
So, okay, and now we can take a break.
Okay.
Welcome back. Now we're just going to do individual picks for comic writers, and we shall start with Dylan, who provided us the longest list. So, one person off.
Okay, I'll start with a like. In fact, one of my favorite writers, Alan Moore.
I think everyone loves a bit of Alan Moore, don't they?
Yeah.
No, actually, no, there are some people who don't like him for some reason, but I think everybody here likes him.
Yeah. From what I've read of him, his anyway, I like it.
Yeah, I haven't read a couple of his books. I've read Killing Joke and Watchmen and some of his
Superman's Fight Birth.
Yeah.
Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Did anybody care for the Batman version of it?
Nah. It was okay as a standalone story, the Neil Gaiman one.
Yeah.
It was okay as a standalone story, but it did, coming in the middle of, again, Grant Morrison's run, it kind of contradicted and basically shat upon a lot of what Grant Morrison had been setting up and writing. Yeah. So I didn't really see the point of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a decent enough story.
It's kind of hard to do anything Batman related with Grant Morrison's then no idea, so.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Anybody else with thoughts on Alan Moore?
I like him. I like From Hell a lot. That's actually my favorite thing he's done.
I've not read that.
From Hell is amazing. From Hell is a read.
Yeah, it's long. I've seen it. I've seen it in the shop. It looks quite fit, yeah.
But it's worth it. It's so super, super researched and just so well done. Like, has anybody seen the movie?
No.
Nope.
The movie takes it turns it into a whodunit, where in the book they tell you straight away who Jack the Ripper is. There's no, mystery or beating around the bush about it, so.
Most of the movies based on his stuff are not that great, except for V for Vendetta. I think that's, like, the only good one. Well, in my opinion, anyways.
I liked Watchmen.
I don't know if I liked Watchmen. That. Recommend that. I did say just the Neonomicon, because it disturbed me, and I like that kind of stuff. So, it's scary, man, and I'm not scared by comics. Just creepy.
So since you're already discussed, what is your pick, Eric?
Oh, I have so many. I don't know. Like, I'd have to take Garth, Mr. Ennis.
Okay.
Garth
Ennis.
Creature. Oh, yes. Creatures on my list.
Classic.
Pretty strong opinions about Garth and how he's just a hack, blah, blah, blah. But his military stuff is also really good, too. And I enjoyed how he worked that into his Max run of the Punisher. And I don't know, he touches stuff I love.
His Punisher run is probably some of my favorite comics ever.
Yeah, his Punisher run's pretty definitive, yeah.
Yeah, because it all fits together, you know? Like, I don't know. It's good.
Yeah.
Enjoyable. And he can do dumb fun, too. Like his Barracuda miniseries. Stuff like that. Crossed. That's pretty sick. But, yeah. Garth. Okay. Go buy some Garth.
Yeah.
Nicholas?
Oh, shit, I don't know who I want to talk about. do I want to talk about who I really love, or do I want to talk about who pisses me off?
Either or.
Fuck it. Jeff Johns. Fuck that. Not fuck that dude. But Jeff Johns pisses me off, and I like him alternately.
Explain.
All right. So
I'm assuming legacy characters.
What's up?
I'm assuming because he always brings back people and...
Oh, no. I don't mind that. The fact that... All right. Jeff Johns has really good ideas. Like, I think Blackest Night, the concept, is amazing. But... He also has this tendency, there's two tendencies to his writing that really just bother me. A is his, like, well, I guess partially his tendency to bring back the shit he loved from when he was 12 and make that the most important thing in the universe. When, okay, we get it, you like Barry Allen, but is there a reason to bring him back other than that you like Barry Allen?
To be fair, the Flash has been good. So I won't fault him with that, but I do get your point, and I guess it's the same thing with Hal Jordan.
Yeah, and Hal Jordan, well, that's neither here nor there. I don't like Hal Jordan as a character, so that was... I can't fault him for liking him just because I don't. Yeah. But his other thing is he writes these... real. His dialogue is just always so intensely obvious that he goes for, like, the easiest line ever, like, "She made the atom feel small." Or, "Problem with you, Barry, is you're always in such a hurry."
Okay, you see, that just sounds like fun dialogue.
Yeah, but it's like, dude, put a little bit more thought into it. That is like the easiest thing to say about the Flash or the Atom, or and it happens over and over again, and that tendency just bothers me. But then he also has the ability to not end things. Like, everything has to be the part of the beginning of something. Like, the end of Blackest Night really, really made me mad.
Because it didn't end.
It just kind of was like, well, it stopped.
I agree.
Well, I mean, didn't Brightest Day War end?
What's that?
Didn't Sinestro Corps War end?
It did not. It blatantly set up the rest of his Green Lantern run.
Well, it set up the War of the Rings, but I think...
Sinestro Corps I can forgive because that's kind of like the Empire Strikes Back, where like Green Lantern Rebirth was a complete story in and of itself, and it was good. And Sinestro Corps War continued that and then was supposed to lead into Blackest Night. Blackest Night, which was supposed to be the return of the Jedi, the end of the you know, this whole saga he'd been writing, was not the end. It was the, hey, I'm going to bring back some people I like, and then you have to read this other thing. That is what pissed me off today. It's like, you can't, like, if you're going to bring people back that you, like, from the dead, either go all the way or don't go at all. Instead, it was this select group of characters that Jeff Johns likes.
And then he cut off anybody coming back to life after that.
Yeah, like, who gives a shit about Hawk Dove?
Was Dove dead?
Yeah.
There's been a couple Doves.
Yeah, but I thought the female one was still...
He brought back the male one.
Yeah.
I didn't know both of them were back. And I'm reading his stuff, so...
I like what he did with Superboys. Like, I know that he wrote in as a fan to, the clone Superboy. They wanted to... He was suggesting that they should be... The human part of the DNA should be Lex Luthor. They never did it. When he got on the book, finally, he did do it in Teen Titans, right? And then what he did with Superboy Prime, I mean, I don't know. In the end, it kind of turned out into his opinion of what fanboys think.
Which, Superboy that is Prime. Hilarious. I think that's great. And that's
I thought that was good, too. I'm like, this guy's awesome.
And that's why he pisses me off, because he does stuff like that, and I love it. But then he'll do, like, the end of Blackest Night, and I want to punch him in his face.
I don't know. I'm still riding it out, so I can't say I hate him.
I'm a huge fan.
I don't hate him, but like I said, he's on both my like and dislike.
I don't like the fact he brought back Hal Jordan and knocked my boy Kyle off his pedestal.
Yeah, I have Kyle too as he's my favorite Green Lantern, and kind of, I mean, he has a role now in the Green Lantern Corps, but it just never seems like he's a mainstay.
I'm going to surprise everybody and say I actually like Guy Gardner because he's an asshole.
Yeah. I like Guy Gardner
he's,
too.
He's honest about being an asshole. Hal Jordan is an asshole, and he acts like he's the king shit of everything.
Yeah. Everybody's, what can you do?
Hal, we love you. You're so great.
Fuck. And Anthony, your pick.
Well, I've only really got into him recently, but I'm gonna go with Jonathan Hickman.
Fuck yeah.
I've read his S.H.I.E.L.D., I've read some of his Fantastic Four, and I've really enjoyed him when I've been reading him, especially his S.H.I.E.L.D. His S.H.I.E.L.D. for a Marvel comic is really good. It's quite standalone as well.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I love Jonathan Hickman. He was the other one I was thinking of talking about earlier. That's why.
Yeah, I was glad when he didn't pick him. I was like, shit, if he picks him, who am I going to pick? But, yeah,
I love Hickman. His and what's funny is that I've been reading Hickman stuff since the Nightly News, so I've been like basically reading his entire comics career.
Nice.
And he just keeps getting better.
Oh, yeah,
like, Nightly News is fucking fantastic. Like, right out of the gate, he was like, just bam, right in there. Fuck you, I'm awesome.
Fantastic Four is a book I always buy, and that's how I got into him. I was like, okay, let's check out the Shield, because his FF, I think, is pretty damn good.
Yeah, that first three-issue arc with all the Reed Richards and shit, that was awesome.
Yes, it was good.
Yeah.
It also had one of my single favorite covers ever, which was Reed Richards punching out Galactus with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Right.
Okay.
It's Fantastic Four ties in movie Shield as well, doesn't it? Kind of. That's what I heard. I'm not sure if it does. I heard his Secret Warriors, his Fantastic Four, and Shield. There's something that ties them all together. I'm not sure if it's Reed Richards' father or something like that. That's just what I read on the site one time. Or it might be his Fantastic Four and his Shield, but I don't know.
It's possible. I mean, he's one of those guys who likes to put little connections to things that you don't have to know about.
Yeah.
But that, like, if you read it, reading all of them, you'll see them.
Hmm.
I've recently read he did a bunch of independence, like, Image stuff before he worked at Marvel, like I said, with the Nightly News and Pax Romana and what are the other one? Transhuman and Red Mask from Mars. And I just read recently he's doing another round of them, which I'm very excited for that because his, like, it's not just his writing, it's his ideas are really, really just well thought out and just well put together, and they're always really just, it's just good writing.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Dunn, you're back up.
I think I'm gonna have to go with another, like, who I have, well, even a whole lot, I suppose. I've just read his stuff recently, but Brian Lee O'Malley of Scott Pilgrim fame.
I am not surprised at that for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Has he done anything else besides Scott Pilgrim?
Yes.
He did Lost at Sea or something it's called.
Yeah, it was a graphic novel. He did webcomics as well, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, writing's pretty funny and...
Yeah.
You have Scott Pilgrim.
I don't know what it is about it.
The Scott Pilgrim books are really good.
Yeah, I didn't care much for the ending of it, but
I haven't read. I've not read five and six. I've only read up to four.
I like the ending decently, I guess.
I guess, but I prefer the ending in the movie.
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
but that's good read.
It's kind of weird because I like things that the movie does and the book does, but I don't like one more than the other per se.
I can see that. I mean, they're both pretty decent works. Not bad by any stretch of imagination.
Yeah.
Do you know what his next project is, or
he's not said yet.
Scott Pilgrim.
He's doing something, but he won't say what it is. He says it's not Scott Pilgrim related, though.
Yeah, that's all I heard.
Okay.
But I will definitely keep an eye on future stuff by him.
And does he do his own artwork as well, or?
He did.
Yeah, well, he does the pencils. I don't think he does the inking, though.
That's pretty. Eric, you are up next.
Another guy I like is Warren Ellis. I don't think we actually talked about him.
You bastard.
Why?
You stole my pick.
Oh, man, I love his Avatar stuff and all the stuff he does outside Marvel. And,
I love Warren Ellis.
So good.
Warren,
he did Extremis, right, for Iron Man?
Yeah, Extremis. Yes. Yeah. I want to read that.
I think I've read that on the digital site.
Yeah,
He's a writer I keep meaning to check out, but I just don't seem to get around to reading much of his stuff. I've read his Red, which was pretty good for like an action-based stuff, although I'm sure it's probably nowhere near as good as his other stuff, but I keep meaning to check out some Warren Ellis books. I will do eventually. Yeah.
Transmetropolitan. That's what you need to read. That's everything he's written, I think, has been some takeoff of Transmetropolitan in some way or another.
The ideas in the book.
Yeah, and like the main character he always writes of, like, the bastard who's actually kind of good at heart but is also kind of a bastard, is basically just Spider Jerusalem. Planetary. That's his other really, really good, just straight up amazing thing he's done. But you also, if any of you read Next Wave?
I've been meaning to. My friend keeps on telling me to do that.
That is straight up hilarious, especially if you know Marvel Comics, like even a little bit. It is. You will get so much more out of it. It is the funniest comic I've ever read.
Stuart Immonen does the art.
Yeah, Stuart Immonen's art on it. Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, Nick, you're up next.
Shit. I don't know who to talk about, because you took all my
picks. Sorry. Well, that's okay. I let you talk through it.
Shit. Oh, you know what? I haven't read a whole lot of their work, but Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey did Phonogram, which is one of my favorite Image comics of recent years, not written by Jonathan Hickman. Which I don't know how many of you are into Britpop.
The music or the scene?
Yeah.
The music.
Yeah, the music.
I like some Britpop.
Phonogram is about Britpop from the 90s on. Britpop and magic, and it's fucking amazing. So.
Magic the Gathering or Magic as
magic
in?
Magic as in, you know, actual magic. Yeah, they wrote a book about Magic the Gathering. Cause that's,
people would do that. comic books, why wouldn't they have catered that niche?
The only Kieran Gillen stuff I read is his Thor stuff, because he took off on after JMS, and he's seen it through Siege. And,
I read the one, the Loki book. Like the one
shot. Oh, that was good, though.
It was really good. Mm. But, so there's that. We've exhausted my comic writers I love or hate. Well, other than Jack Kirby, but that's really, you know.
Oh. Anthony, you're up.
Yeah, someone who I do like, although I do dislike some of his stuff, is Brian Michael Bendis. I like his Ultimate Spider-Man a lot. That's what really got me, like, back into comics.
That's really all I've read of his.
His recent Avengers stuff is... I'm seeing mixed things about it on Twitter, actually. I like his new Avengers, but his Avengers, I'm not quite on there yet. And then I loved Siege as well.
Like Siege a lot.
I really liked his Dark Avengers as well. I was a bit sad Dark Avengers ended at Siege, because I was enjoying Dark Avengers. But,
What else has he done?
Bendis is very hit and miss with me. Is that some of the stuff I like, and some of it I just don't care or don't like at all or whatever.
I wasn't that keen on his Powers, actually. I read Powers the other week, the first volume of it, and I don't know what it was. I think it might have been the artwork or something. It wasn't doing much for me. I don't know why.
I have Powers, but again, it's probably, like I said, it's partially because I have Gotham Central and I was looking for something to fill that void after I ran out of it to read. I like the main characters. I don't like the fact that he puts himself in the comic.
He puts Warren Ellis in the comic, actually.
Yeah, I think, and he also puts himself in there on, I forget as who.
What I disliked about it is that he was kind of taking, like, four issues and, like, a story arc to pretty much do what he could have done in one issue if he really wanted to. Because it's like loads of talking and loads of filler and not much story progression, issue to issue.
That's always been my issue with him, especially in terms of Ultimate Spider-Man, is that he really likes to stretch out his story.
Yeah, very decompressed.
I like it in Ultimate Spider-Man because I find it entertaining, mainly because I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, so I don't mind it so much in that, but it just felt in Powers that he was just purposely trying to drag it out just to get more comics out there.
I don't know, because if I remember correctly, wasn't like the origins in Ultimate Spider-Man like 7 issues?
Yeah, it was pretty much the first hour. I think it was 5, 6, around that number.
Yeah, and most of his Ultimate Spider-Man stuff is good. It's just that, like, he really, really could work on some of those stories being, like, 2 or 3 issues short and still get the same gist of it, I guess.
I think with his origin, he probably wanted to, like, take his time getting into it, making...
Yeah, but it's not just the origin. I was just pointing... But it's, like, most of the comics in that series... I love the series, but it's, like, he really, really stretches it to the point where it kind of becomes tedious and you just want the story to end to move on to the next thing most of the time instead of, like, oh, you know, I really want to see what's going to happen next month. It's like, oh, this is still going on.
Agreed. That's exactly how I feel, man. Especially now when I'm reading Avengers. Anyway.
I've not read seven.
Fuck, I just thought of someone. Never mind.
Okay,
who it's
did
not your
you
turn,
think?
Man.
I know. Well, I kind of fucked my turn up, but...
Okay. So, I guess we're back to Dillion.
I've got one. I've only read a couple of his things, but I've hated them all. Judd Winnick.
I actually wanted to see that one, because I'm actually becoming a fan of his.
Reasons I hate him. First of all, Under the Red Hood, bringing back Jason Todd and all that crap. The way he did it, and I don't mind the idea of it, I guess, but just how he did it and is him doing it kind of pissed me off. And I like Grant Morrison's brief thing in Batman and Robin with Jason Todd, but specifically Under the Red Hood with him, I hated that. Just I don't know why, it just bugged me up. And then he did Long Shadows on the main Batman book a year ago or so, which was supposed to be Dick's first adventure as Batman, which had involved this really stupid Two-Face Batman costume, and it was just pure crap.
Okay. I guess the difference with me is that I came into his... I think the first exposure was Under the Red Hood, actually the animated feature and not the comic book. I'm sure I read it, but I forgot about it. But he's also currently writing Generation Lost, which is probably the second best story DC's done since 52. Well, I mean, it's second behind 52, I should say. What else has he done? Day of Vengeance, I guess, was decent and stuff like that. His run on Action Comics. But, yeah, I don't know much of his writing, but the stuff I do read of his is really enjoyable.
I like his non-superhero stuff.
Judd Winnick?
Like what?
Yeah, he did a thing called Barry Ween Boy Genius, which is really funny. Yeah, I don't read any...
cartoon show, too, wasn't he? For a while?
I don't know. He was on The Real World.
Yeah. He was?
I like a couple of his stories. He's pretty hit and miss with me. The story he did, Superman Shazam First Thunder, I thought that was pretty good. And
I'm
really
that
enjoying
that came out. The Shazam thing came out around the same time Jeff Smith's Shazam and the Monster Society came out, and that was so much better.
Yeah. He did the Green Arrow Black Canary Wedding Special, which I actually remember enjoying. I didn't enjoy the run on the series, but the special when they got married was pretty cool. Anybody else?
I'm not familiar with him, so I can't say anything.
Okay. So we're back to Eric.
All right, let's get hateful. worst writer, one of the worst writers, I feel, who should have just stuck to his pencils, Todd McFarlane. Anybody? You know what's
he's
funny?
A writer?
Well, he's just a writer, right?
Yeah, I didn't know he wrote anything.
Yeah.
What I thought was funny is I seen this video of Greg Capullo on CBR the other day. He was like, I had to get off around issue 1 because I knew you guys were going to ride it into the ground. And they did. And I thought that was pretty funny. Spawn.
Okay. Who's fidgeting with their mic?
You guys don't read anything Todd McFarlane or ever?
I might have read some of the Spider-Man. He introduced Venom, didn't he?
He did the art.
Did art.
Yeah,
he
yeah. The
art.
He put the teeth on the costume, so he gets credit now.
Yeah, I don't think I've read any of the ones he's wrote. Not yet, anyway.
But I mean, and even in his business practicings and stuff that you read about, I mean, the guy just doesn't. He's sketchy.
He's a dude.
I don't like the fact that he's from Calgary either.
You can't hold that he's Canadian against him.
You can hold that we're Canadian against us.
Yeah, that's different.
How is it different?
You can't hold that he's Canadian against him when you're Canadian.
That's what disgusts me. I'm disgusted to be a Canadian because he's Canadian.
That's nice. As long as he's Canadian, I will renounce my Canadianship.
Almost. If James Cameron wasn't Canadian, I might, but... But you know what? Most those guys aren't Canadian anymore. They're American citizens. Yeah. Obviously,
James Cameron's Canadian.
as far as I know.
Oh, I thought he was American. I just assumed he was American. I don't know why.
So did I.
Look it up. Let's Google.
No, he's Canadian. He's
I'm going to wiki
Ontario.
That. Hold on.
He's from Ontario.
New every day, eh?
Told you.
Actually, my mom met him one time when he was doing a, like a talk at this university where she worked security. He got in this Titanic book that he had. I think it's lying around.
Nice.
I
don't know. Wrote to that meeting or
so I'm going to have to start hating Terminator? Sucks.
Why? Why? Oh, because he's Canadian. Screw
he's
you,
racist.
Earl.
That's not Canadian. It's not racist.
Hating
okay,
Canadian
how did my
race.
Hate for Todd McFarlane turn into a discussion about how Canada sucks? Shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's actually, you, next month,
Avatar,
you
Avatar actually makes a bit more sense now, actually, if James Cameron's Canadian. Hating on America.
Yeah. I hate James Cameron because of Avatar right now.
Ugh.
Like every other
it's
movie, like, can't put that.
This, it's like it's an Avatar discussion because that can go wrong
I
so
like
fast. I do not like Avatar.
I know what's wrong. I know what's wrong. I know why people don't like it. I know what's wrong with it. But I still think it's a good movie. But I like sci-fi shit like that. And we don't, you know, yeah. It's and I seen it in 3D IMAX and that was just amazing in 3D IMAX.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. I think people got blinded by the technology and didn't realize it's a pretty bland movie with one-dimensional characters.
We're not going to get into an Avatar discussion, but let's talk about Avatar.
we're moving on.
The story's rubbish in it, but it's a good film.
We're moving on. It's Nick's turn.
Damn you, Todd McFarlane.
He has his one pick.
See, now I have a problem because I thought of one I hate and one I like, and I don't know who I want to talk about again.
Let's go with hate. Since we're on that row right now.
Jeff Loeb.
Ooh.
Fuck, I was going to bring him up.
Hit and miss for me.
All right, if you want to talk about him, I have something else.
No, we can all talk about him now.
Yeah, yeah. Go for it.
Someone I want to talk about I like, too.
Well,
okay.
Why didn't you say the other person, then?
Because they told me to say the person I hated.
Let's talk about Jeff Loeb, because I assume he's you like his Batman stuff, like...
Nope.
You don't?
I like Batman and Dark Victory well enough. They're good for people who don't know anything about Batman.
Yeah.
But...
I think Hush is quite good for people who don't know Batman, though.
I also
yeah,
think
that's the problem,
is
though. I think Hush is like the long Halloween in that it's just like an excuse to kind of tell you about all the Batman villains.
Hush is a very mediocre story with really good art.
Yeah.
I think Hush got saved by a Paul Dini and the Heart of Hush series.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hush is a crappy villain.
It was such a bullshit. It was such a bullshit story though.
Yeah, I can't even remember what it was, but that's also the reason they brought back Jason Todd. Or had an excuse to bring back Jason Todd.
That was the reason Winnick did it, was because he didn't like that Loeb teased it and then, you know, didn't follow through.
Yeah.
So.
But
I like Red Hulk.
Between that, I haven't read his Red Hulk stuff.
Oh, no, I've read two volumes of that and I've not really enjoyed them that much. For me, the best Red Hulk issue was the issue 4 was in, because 4 just kicks the shit out of him and it's great. I love Paul.
You got Hush. You've got all his.
I guess Superman,
his
Batman.
Ultimate work.
I love Spider-Man Blue as well. It's one of my favorite Spider-Man stories.
He's
Spider-Man Blue.
See, I think in every case he has a good. Like even when it's good, it's just an okay story, and the art saves him.
Yeah.
He's never like an amazing. Like there's never a story where I'm like, wow, the writing in this is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's always just, well, you know, the writing doesn't ruin it. That's the most you can hope for with Jeff Loeb. The writing doesn't ruin the story.
He killed Sabretooth, that bastard.
It sounds like you're crying.
Oh, I am a little bit. I'm eating a cheese-filled jalapeno. It was hot. Sorry.
Oh, did you cry about it?
That Sabretooth, man. He killed Sabretooth.
Well, I didn't know you were that attached to him.
He won't be writing comics for a while anyway, because he's doing...
In Canada, it's
Marvel now, aren't they? And they're making... Another Hulk TV series for some reason.
Well, the first one's kind of popular.
Hulk doesn't need another TV show. He doesn't need any more.
We need all the Hulk we can get.
Other characters.
More Hulk.
I think because they realize they can't really make a movie out of him, so why not make him a TV show?
The TV show is going to look shit, though. I bet you any money it looks shit.
Oh, my God.
You can't do live-action TV shows.
I don't think I like you anymore.
We've had this discussion before, though.
Hulk smash.
All right, team.
I'm sending Jeff Parker to your house.
This special effects in some TV shows don't look that great. So why do the Hulk when the Hulk's going to have to be a completely CG character, unless they're going to get Louis Faringo or whatever his name is with all the green makeup again?
And well, he needs the money. So.
He cameos in everything else, Hulk. Why not?
Okay, change the subject. Whose turn is it?
It is Anthony's turn, I believe.
I don't know.
You folks get, you have the schedule. You should know when your turn's coming up.
Yeah, I know.
Let's see.
Can I say the one that I wanted to say earlier and then I was told?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go on.
Gerard Way.
The My Chemical Romance guy.
Yeah, he wrote Umbrella Academy.
Oh, I think Umbrella
Academy. Is that Resident Academy Evil?
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Umbrella
That's
Academy.
That's a pretty good story.
Yeah, the original miniseries and then Umbrella Academy Dallas. Like, I didn't expect it to be as good as it was, because I think I was just a dude for My Chemical Romance, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I like the band, because they're epic and insane, but it really is just a good story. Like, if you like Grant Morrison, you'll like Umbrella Academy. It's that type of book. And I think that disgusted, ugh, is your opinion of the band.
It is actually, yeah. I've seen My Chemical Romance live, and they were shit.
Yeah, but if you give the book a shot. Like, you like Grant Morrison stuff, you'll like that. It's the same type of feeling. It's like his Doom Patrol, kind of.
Okay.
He has a monkey with a gun. The one character is named Space Boy, and he's a dude who had his head transplanted onto the body of a gorilla with a jetpack.
Wow.
It's a bit more to it than that, because they're all related and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
it is really, like, a really just a good book, and, like, it's one of those things where I read it, and I was like, I had no idea this would be this good, and it makes me want to read everything he writes from now on.
Okay. Now do you have your pick, Anthony?
Yeah, I've got a writer, although I'm mainly saying it just because of his Spider-Man stuff, but I'm just going to go with Dan Slott, because I like his Spider-Man he writes. And Big Time was awesome.
I'll second that.
Yeah, Big Time is going to be a good time, but I'm just afraid it's going to be I'm just waiting for it to go to crap for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He always does.
He did a really good Thing miniseries a couple years ago. Well, was supposed to be an ongoing, but it ended up not being an ongoing. But it was actually really good, too.
I remember that Pull My Thing.
And what was the other one he did? His She-Hulk series. That was
really good. And he did Mighty Avengers after Bendis left it, I think.
Yeah.
Bendis set up Mighty Avengers, and then Dan Slott took on after it until Siege.
Yeah, it was all right.
Okay.
But I've got a good feeling about your Spider-Man, because he wrote some of my favorite Brand New Day stories, which I said before. He wrote some of, I mean...
Yeah, it looks like it's a great setup. I'm happy that he's finally got a job. Let's see how long he keeps it. Because it looks like they're setting up for him to already have some trouble with the Kingpin at his job, so... Dylan, we're back to you if you have a pick.
I do. This will be another, Paul Denis, as we're briefly mentioning earlier, who is probably one of the best Batman writers out there right now. although one thing that's been bothering me is he's been doing the Streets of Gotham, but then there have been a bunch of issues that he's missed in his series, so like he's not been writing it very consistently over the past, I don't know,
and it kind
months
of.
Or so. But when he is doing it, I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of like it was with Zatanna, where he's been writing that, and I've been enjoying that, and then I realized he didn't write this week's issue, and I just read the first two pages and put it away. I also think he's writing Gotham City Sirens, right?
Yeah, he is.
Which has been hit or miss, I think. I like how he characterizes most of them, but there's really not much to do with the characters most of the time.
Yeah. Well, I think he's... single-handedly saved Hush from being crappy, so...
Yeah, that too. Wait, he wrote Countdown?
No, like his Heart of Hush and House of Hush and whatnot.
But I meant, was he the writer for Countdown, or is that...
He was the quote-unquote showrunner for it. He kind of, oversaw everything, and...
gonna have to knock some points off for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Countdown is terrible. But well, he also was the head writer and big off man of the animated series. So
yeah, that's what to say. Yeah. I could never fault him for that. Because yeah, he wrote that and he's also writing the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. Mm. So
that should be the best cartoon in years, hopefully.
Yeah, it's right after Spectacular Spider-Man and Young Justice.
Oh, no.
The only book I've read by Paul Dini, I think, is the Batman War on Crime he did with Alex Ross. You know, the giant-sized short book. I don't know if anyone else here has read it. I think, was that Paul Dini who wrote that?
I remember which one that is.
Alex Ross did about, he did one for Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and then Captain Marvel. I read the Superman and the Batman one. That's, yeah.
There's no one
I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I'm not sure if he did it or not.
I haven't read it though.
Which one do you mean? Which book? Is it Justice or
Batman War on Crime?
Alright.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, I haven't read that, but I've heard about it.
Okay. So we're back to Eric.
Okay, let's get some more hate on. Daniel Way. I want my money back for Wolverine Origins, you bastard. That's all.
Okay.
Pretty concise.
You guys don't read any of his stuff, man. He's even more, decompression than Bendis. Like, that's all I got to say about that.
Anybody else?
I've never read anything he's written.
It's not appealed to me much.
He did some Ghost Rider and Wolverine Origins. Yeah. Not a fan.
And some Deadpool, I guess.
Not a fan. Do any of you guys buy Deadpool?
If he wrote Deadpool, nope. Then I hate him because I hate Deadpool.
I stopped reading Deadpool after he paid in like 50 comics a week, so.
He's everywhere. He's got like 6 titles. Although Marvel, apparently, they're supposed to be getting rid of some of the Deadpool titles. They're asking fans which Deadpool titles they want to keep and which ones they want to see go. So I think they're streamlining it a bit. But I'm not going to buy it anyway. So
they should get rid of everything and just keep Deadpool. I think the character, Batman's overexposed and Wolverine's overexposed, but those two can kind of handle it. Deadpool is one of those characters who works with a certain type of writer, because not everybody can write him well, and he doesn't really own himself to good stories if he's written bad.
Mm. He's a good character who works as a comment on the story.
Yeah, like, if you have him in like 16 comics, it just waters down his appearances and stuff. I guess we're back to Nicholas.
Are we? I'm done.
Okay, and you know, it's just we got
Jack Kirby. I love Jack Kirby's writing, but
I don't think anybody's gonna say no to Kirby. Anybody? Evil person? Nobody?
Most people give Kirby big ups for his art, but his writing is awesome.
Well, here's one. It's on nobody's list, but Robert Kirkman.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna. That was what I was mentioning earlier. I should have put him on my list.
What's funny is with Kirkman, I was up and down in the past week. Where I got to book 4 of The Walking Dead, and I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. And then I read book 5 and 6, and I'm like, oh, wait, no, not so much.
You see, my thing with Walking Dead, it's that I always feel that it's kind of gotten old at this point, where they just kind of find a new settlement, they're happy for a little bit, something happens, they have to move out, and then they're on the road again. They find a new settlement, they get new survivors, somebody dies, you know, a few people die, they find happiness again, something goes wrong, rinse and repeat, and you have 76 issues of a comic.
There's a point where it's kind of like with Preacher or with Why the Last Man or with Transmetropolitan or The Invisibles, these guys were writing with a specific end in mind. They were writing through something, and Kirkman has said he's going to continue The Walking Dead for as long as people buy it and as long as he wants to do it. So he doesn't have an end he's going to.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is it's like, I'm just wasting time here, and I honestly, how would you end The Walking Dead?
Everyone dies.
Kill everyone.
Yeah.
Problem is, that's how every story is. Everybody dies.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is at this point, it's not, you expect people to die in The Walking Dead. When people don't die, you're wasting time. I mean, I assume at some point, if they kill a Rick, that would be the end, but
my friend is currently reading hardcover book 4. So I'm waiting to get the phone call when he gets to the one specific part.
Wait, I haven't got that part there.
Well, I'm not going to say what it is, but there's one specific part where I'm going to get the what the fuck text message.
Nice.
I can't wait.
What about Invincible?
I haven't read any of that.
Huge fan. One of my favorite comic book, superhero comic books. But again, it's getting to the point where it's gonna become the normal comic book where people die and stuff like that, and you know, bigger and bigger events because you have the top what you did the last time. Let's see, who else do we have on you folks list? Dennis O'Neill from Dillion, you wanna go?
His work done. I forget if it was Detective Comics or the Batman book, but he started in like the early 70s, I believe, after the show ended and campy fat was fading, so they had to like make him kind of more realistic and not as campy.
Cartoony?
Cartoony.
That's what to say, his run is still kind of cartoony. Isn't he like the big props and goofy? I mean, it's not as bad as the Adam West series, but it didn't really become...
He doesn't really have the whole big prop, all that stuff. He just, he was the one that created Ra's al Ghul, or Ra's al Ghul, or however you want to say his name, and like brought back the more serious thinking man kind of things.
Okay. Anybody else?
Like his stuff less.
Okay. For Eric, we have Kurt, how do you say this? Bursnick?
Busiek?
Oh, Busiek.
Yeah, there we go.
What's wrong with Busiek? I like.
No, him. I'm going on your list.
Superman. I like his Avengers. I like.
I'm reading his Avengers at the minute.
I like his team up, the JLO Avengers.
He's
He did Teen Titans,
Spider-Man,
right?
Series he did. Marvels. Okay. I can't remember. He's done lots of good stuff.
Yeah, he's one of those solid guys who's just everything he does is good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why he kind of just, like, his Superman run was really good, and you could see the setups that he was doing for a pretty good storyline, and it just stopped.
He got pushed aside for Jeff Johns.
What a bunch of crap.
And Richard Donner.
Oh yeah, I forgot Richard Donner wrote Superman for a bit.
Oh, I'm sure he was there when he was making up the idea.
Did anybody read that run?
Mm-hmm. Nope, I didn't know it.
I did.
Nope.
How was it?
It's alright. It was a definite throwback to Christopher Reeve stuff.
Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
Eh?
That's why I enjoyed it. I mean, I grew up on that stuff. Well, I remember running to school with Superman shirts on every day.
Okay, and I think, I mean, we're pretty much circling the drain at this point, so
there's one more thing I want to mention.
Okay.
Circling the drain?
Well, we've been at this for like an hour and a half, so.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith, specifically when he's doing Batman stuff. I like his writing.
Did you say
movie,
Kevin Smith?
It's just, yeah. He's not good for Batman.
Awesome.
He's too much of a comedy writer, and he made Batman piss himself. Like, come on.
I love Kevin Smith.
His comic writing, other than Green Arrow, I liked his Green Arrow run, and his Daredevil miniseries was okay. Everything else has been pretty bad.
The Batman stuff is terrible.
Yeah. I haven't even bothered reading it. I don't want to read a Kevin Smith written Batman.
About cacophony.
Yeah. I don't want
cacophony, and then I forget the name of his other series. I haven't read a lot of
The correct pronunciation is cacophony.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I'm Canadian, eh?
Pardon me.
You know what that's about?
So, any final picks before we start wrapping this up?
We should talk about Mark Waid.
My favorite comic book writer is me.
What have you written?
Nothing that's been published.
So we can't even judge.
Have you written stuff though?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I have an entire miniseries outlined and the first two issues written. I just can't get an artist to do it who sticks around. It would actually, and it's funny is that it actually is very similar to Umbrella Academy or Doom Patrol or like this weird kind of 50s sci-fi-ish type stuff. It's called Space Monkey Hero of the Future.
Space Monkey Hero of the Future.
It's like there's it's set in the future of now, but it's very 50s future. So there's like spaceships and bubble helmets and jetpacks and brains in jars, and it involves like the Space Corps people, you know, fighting evil empires and whatnot. Except the one guy is literally a monkey in a bubble helmet. Who is nice. It's never addressed in the series that he's a monkey. It's always just kind of, people just kind of assume that it's cool. Like, no one ever says, oh my god, there's a monkey leading us. No, it's just, he's just there.
Nice.
Okay, so is that everything for everybody?
Well, one last thing I want to say is, generally, artists, when they try and write, fail. So.
Fair enough.
Just saying.
So, we shall... I guess we can cover that when we get to artists sometime in the new year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I guess there's just some last minute business I want to take care of here, is that I honestly don't use iTunes, so I couldn't tell you how to do it, but, you know, if we start getting some reviews for the iTunes section of this podcast, that'd be nice.
And we're on iTunes?
Go to iTunes, search Nerds on the Rocks. And you just leave a review.
Oh, cool.
Give us 5 stars.
Yes, 5 star review would be awesome.
I'm a subscriber.
Okay, nice. And we also, because we're going to start doing in December our year wrap up, movies, games, comics, and other fun stuff, I've also set up a phone number if anybody wants to call in and leave their picks, and we'll try to insert that into the podcast.
Oh, wow. That'd be cool.
Yeah, so it's 347-470-6373, or, you know, 347-470-NERD.
Is that your home number, Earl?
No, oh, no, I'm not going to give away my home now. What, you think I'm crazy?
I've given out my friend's number on podcasts before.
That's a Google Voice number. It goes to, like, you know... It can ring for my cell phone. I turn that off, though. I really don't want to hear random people's numbers appearing. But, yeah. You know, if you want to just leave a brief message, and we'll try to insert it. And I guess that works for both Nerds on the Rocks and Do Wilden. So I want to thank you, gentlemen, again for joining us. And for Dylan, Eric, Nicholas, and Anthony, this is Nerds on the Rocks, episode 22.
Woo!
Bye.
Peace out.
Where's the Nerds on the Rocks this week?
I won't do it. No, I'm laughing.
No. So you're calling coconuts racist?
I call the coconut racist. It's a natural racist.
How are coconuts racist? They're brown on the outside and white in the middle.
That's what I mean.
They're multiple.
What nature is telling you is that everybody who's brown actually wants to be white.
No, they're just multicultural. They're saying we're all the same underneath.
Oh, good call. But why am I late?
You are. Never mind. Welcome, Anthony.
I'm sorry I'm late, everyone. I'm sorry.
We're gonna... He's probably taking his time asking his spouse.
My dinner arrived late. That's the reason I was late.
Did you have pee-pee?
No, not tonight, no.
Now I find when you're eating dinner, even though the time difference is blah, blah, blah. Because I woke up like an hour and a half. Well, maybe 2.5 hours.
So, are we only counting 4? Don't hit no joke.
I mean, I didn't even get in until like 3 in the morning.
How'd that go anyhow?
Oh, it went terrible. What happened is we booked this months ago, and this place had been after us to play at this venue for like over a year. And like things kept happening, they would like ask, they would like want to book us on a day we already had something or we couldn't play or whatever. And so we finally got it booked. We show up yesterday and the sound guy doesn't have us playing. Even though we'd gotten an email the day before saying, oh yeah, you're definitely playing, here's the lineup, we've been promoting it. Everybody, like everything said that we were playing. We show up and he's like, oh no, you're not on the list. We're like, whoa, hold on. And there were 2 bands that weren't on the list that were playing, so we were kind of pissed off about that. So we called a dude, and some things were arranged, and we got put on last at 1 something in the morning.
And everybody's drunk.
Yeah. So no, not that everybody was drunk. Everybody hit the left.
Same difference.
So there was like 6 people left, and we did just like, you're like, fuck it. It just was short, like 20-25 minute set, and got the fuck out of there.
And this is why you never go to Jersey.
No, that wasn't Jersey's fault. It was the booking company, who we will never be playing with.
I still blame Jersey. Is still in here?
I'm here.
Okay, here we go. And this is 22.
Sure, why not?
Don't ask me, I can't count.
I'd rather be assigned these numbers nowadays. So. Hold on. I did. I was in.
Keep running.